For those of you who do catch up online with this class, and if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. He does not make money off the site, but he does need money in order to run the site. Those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it so that he can continue that site.
Welcome, everybody, to Parsha class. It's Yisro 5773, and we are learning something that will be meaningful to any Jew, anytime. Let me start off with a little cute exchange that we had, a texting story between me and my sister Ilana, who lives in Baltimore. Now, Ilana has this new custom that she likes to text a message to whoever's on her list, I assume it's relatives, something before Shabbos, and it's a short little message, like enjoy Shabbos, or, you know, everyone's well, something like that. But she tries to put a word that has to do with the name of the Parsha, and that word is capitalized. Okay? Now, she always sends the message, and I usually reply. But this week, I hadn't gotten one from her yet, and I thought I would beat her to it. So I wrote something like, "Have you heard? It's almost Shabbos." And the word "heard" was the capital word. Now, she texts me back and says, "Sorry, the capital word..." Wait, I've got it right here. Here, I can read it to you. Let's see. Hold on. Oh my goodness, I didn't realize we had another one. Okay. "My message was, have you heard that Shabbos is coming soon? Please enjoy a peaceful time with your family." Okay? That was my message. Now she writes, "Sorry, but you have to use the Parsha word, which in this case would be Yisro or Jethro." Now, Hatzlacha. Nice try, though. Now, I assume that because how do you write a message with the name Yisro in it? So that's probably why she didn't send one. Then I wrote back, "It's part of the name. It's part of the name." So she wrote back, "What you talking about, brother?" I just saw that now for the first time. All right. So I'll tell you and then I'll tell her. Look at the name. Look at the name of the Parsha. The Parsha is Vayishma Yisro, Kohen Midyan. Yisro, the minister of Midyan, the father-in-law of Moshe, heard everything that God did to Moses and to Israel, his people, that Hashem had taken Israel out of Egypt. Now, I know in English, heard is like about the eighth or ninth word, but in the Hebrew, it's Vayishma Yisro. The very first word is, and he heard. Now, I know that we call it Parshas Yisro, we don't call it Parshas and he heard. Even though we could have. Some of the Parsha names have like verbs, like Vayetze Yaakov. You know, Yaakov went out. The name of the Parsha is not Yaakov. The name of the Parsha is Vayetze, and he went out. So this could have been Vayishma, and he heard. But my sister, she says, tradition is tradition, and it says that the name of the Parsha is Yisro. But I would like to demonstrate today that really the name of the Parsha should be, and he heard.
What's the Hebrew spelling for Yisro?
Yud, Tav, Resh, Vav. All right, because I think that this is only one of three very important Vayishmas in the Parsha, and he heard. You've got Vayishma Yisro Kohen Midyan. Yisro heard, and what does it say that he heard? He heard about the miracles of the Exodus from Egypt, the splitting of the sea, the miraculous victory against the Amalekites. And he came to see what's going on with this nation, and maybe I want to join them. And he engaged in a quite a long courtship, shall we say, with Moshe. And he ended up, the Torah tells us in Bamidbar, that he ended up not staying. He went back to his place of origin. And that was that. But not before he made significant contributions to our people. How are you, Dr. Schultz? Great to see you. So that's one Vayishma. A second Vayishma is that one of the contributions that Yisro made is that he observed the way Moshe was administering judgment and answering questions from the Jewish people. And he was busy from morning till night. And Yisro observed, and he had some thoughts about how Moshe could improve the system. And he told him, and a lot of the beginning of the Parsha is Yisro's suggestion, Yisro's plan about recruiting other judges of lesser stature but of great competence to be able to hear many of the questions and field them. And what is Moshe's response to his nagging father-in-law? Because he was already, by now, he was his father-in-law. We know that. Moshe's response in chapter 18, verse 24, which would be found on page 400, Vayishma Moshe l'kol chosno. Moshe heard the voice of his father-in-law. The same word, Vayishma. And he heard. We've got Vayishma Yisro, and we've got Vayishma Moshe. L'kol chosno. Moshe heard the voice of his father-in-law. That's the second Vayishma. The third Vayishma is found in the next chapter, chapter 19, verse 5, on page 402. And Hashem, by this point, is preparing Moshe to go up to the mountain of Sinai and to receive the Torah. And he says to him, V'ata, and now, im shomoa tishme'u bekoli, ushmartem es brisi. If you hearken well to me and observe my covenant, you will be to me the most beloved treasure of all peoples. And there, it uses the same root, Shema, but it's in the plural form, Shamoa Tishmeu, and it's in the double for emphasis, Shamoa Tishmeu. If you will Shema, then we will have the greatest relationship imaginable. And so this is an important word. And just to show you that it's not haphazard, when the Jewish people here receive the Torah, and this is a verse which is from next week's Parsha Mishpatim, but it is certainly part of the experience of receiving the Torah. They say the famous words, Naseh v'nishma. We will do and we will hear. And that is the expression that is often quoted as their expression of acceptance of Torah. So this word Shema is what I'd like to talk about today. What does it mean, Shema? And why did the Torah choose an incident with Yisro, who's not even part of the Jewish nation, to start off the Parsha that deals with the giving of the Torah, the Ten Commandments, starts off the Parsha with the coming of Yisro and with the words of Yisro to Moshe? It's quite a lengthy section, given the nature of Torah being so brief and concise. What's the significance of that? And I'd like to talk about the concept of Shmia for a few minutes and show how it is extremely central to the message of the Torah. And I believe it would be a message that any Jew would be interested and would benefit from at any time, keeping to our theme. I identified in my own mind four aspects of Shmia, of hearing. that I'd like to share with you, and I have some sources to support and to illustrate these four different aspects. The first aspect can be gleaned from Yisro. It says, Vayishma Yisro, Yisro heard. Now, what do we think that word means, heard? He heard about the miracles? What about the rest of the world? Did they not hear it? Did they not hear it? So let's listen in to the book For Your Shabbos Table by Rebbetzin Jungreis that we've quoted several weeks before. I want to give credit once again to my friend Alan. Do you know that every week I don't prepare my class until after Alan tells me what is a topic from the Parsha based on his reading that he thinks would be interesting and informative and instructive to Jews? I wait for him. That's what it's evolved into. So much credit. The art of listening. Revelation at Sinai, the greatest moment in the annals of mankind, is recorded in this Parsha. Incredibly, however, the portion is entitled Yisro, in honor of Moses' father-in-law, Jethro, who prior to his conversion had been a pagan priest. Logically, one would have expected that the portion be called Moshe, or Sinai, but surely not Yisro. How are we to understand this? The Parsha opens with the simple but piercing words, Vayishma Yisro, Jethro heard. Now the voice of God was audible throughout the universe. No, there's a verse in the Song of the Sea where it says, Shomu Amim Yirgozun, that the nations heard about it and they trembled. Everybody knew about splitting of the sea. Everybody knew about the 10 plagues. Come on. You don't think that made it in the headlines? So the voice of God was audible throughout the universe, but it was only Jethro who heard. It was only Jethro who reacted and chose to abandon his prestigious position as a priest of Midian to join the Israelites at Sinai. Our sages teach that when the kings of the nations heard those awesome sounds, they thought that a cataclysmic event was about to occur and there would be yet another flood. For a very brief moment, they stopped to listen. But then Bilaam, their prophet, assured them that it was only God giving his commandments. So they said, oh, okay. So they returned to their old ways. So what does the word Vayishma mean? Does it mean that your ears received an audible message and you were, you know, you heard it physically? Apparently not, because everybody did that. Hearing, in this sense, is that Yisro paid attention. And then he went to the next step and he said, what does this mean? What should I make of it? What is the message? A whole different idea, a whole different depth. So one aspect of Shema is paying attention and contemplating what you have heard. And this is illustrated by Yisro's Shema. Now, in the second verse that we cited, Moshe, listening to the voice of his father-in-law, okay, what does that mean? Moshe listened to the voice of his father-in-law. Does it mean he sat there and he listened and he nodded and said, mm-hmm, yeah, Pop. Thank you, Pop. Bye. No. Moshe implemented the plan that Yisro suggested for him to improve the system of judgment. So that introduces another aspect of Shmiah, which is to listen, to understand a different point of view, which is a big step because very often human instinct is to be defensive and to refute or deny, but to listen, understand it, and be willing to accept a different point of view. Now that I would like for my source material to quote Rav Noach Weinberg of the 48 Ways to Wisdom, number 11, which is called Dikduk Haverim, cut it fine with friends, I believe. Work it through with friends. He translates it. In other words, discuss your issues with other people and listen to their points of view. Common resolutions. I'm willing to hear the other side. I want to know the truth. I will consider the evidence. I'm willing to change even if it's painful. How do you get the other guy into this? Remind him, I want to know the truth just as you want to know the truth. You think you have evidence? I think I have evidence. So let's compare. If I'm making a mistake, please show me. I'm willing to change. Either convince me or join me. Imagine you had a confrontation with your auto mechanic. I don't know if you remember this. You did a terrible job on my car. He says, I did a terrible job. You're a bum of a client. Diffuse the tension. Tell him, look, if I made a mistake, I want to admit it. If you made a mistake, do you want to admit it? Okay, let's look at the evidence. As the Talmud says, the way to tell if an argument is sincerely about the truth is when both people come out loving each other more in the end. It isn't easy, but it's worthwhile. Okay. Moshe, Vayishma Moshe Lekol Chosno means Moshe heard Yisro's argument, and he compared it with the way that he had been doing things. And he obviously analyzed the pros and the cons of both, and he was open to choosing the best solution. And when he considered that Yisro's solution had greater merit, he said, okay, I'm going to listen to you. You're right. That's another aspect of listening, of a Yishma. Actually, maybe two aspects. Understanding the other point of view, which implies some form of analysis, of honest, an intellectual analysis, not attacking the issue emotionally, and willingness to accept. And then we have the third Shema of the Parsha, God saying to Moshe, V'yata im shamoa tishme'u b'koli u'shmartem es brisi, speaking on behalf of the entire people, if y'all will heed my voice and observe my covenant. Here God is saying, what I'm offering to you, Jewish people, the Torah, my way of life for you, is something that you have to listen. You have to accept it. And you have to be willing to take action and to implement. That's the Shema that Hashem is proposing. Doesn't just mean going to the class and saying, yeah, that was interesting, good. I even took notes. This Shema means taking action, acting upon it. Don't just listen. And for this, I cite a beautiful sefer called Orchos Tzadikim, The Ways of the Righteous. It's an ancient book. It's probably 300 years old. And I've quoted from it before. It's a classic Musar sefer. And what it does is he describes 28 different character traits that people have. And half of them are the positive side and half of them are the negative side. And this one that I recalled was made an impact on me is what's called the Gate of Rutzon. The Gate of, how do we translate Rutzon? Willingness. And let me read an excerpt from Orchos Tzadikim. It is a very beautiful trait in a man to be full of goodwill, to cancel his own will before that of his fellow man. This will cause him to be loved by all in doing the will of all men. Such a man is very close to the ways of repentance, for if he is in the grips of an evil act and his friend comes to chastise him, he at once acquiesces in forsaking the evil and he returns to the righteous path. The result is that he gratifies himself by acknowledging and abandoning his evil ways, and that he is a source of gratification to those who befriend him. In other words, he's a person. I'm not sure if this is the same thing as easygoing. Easygoing might mean just more like laissez-faire. I'm talking about a person who is flexible and a person who is willing to listen. King Shlomo likewise said in Mishlei Proverbs, "And he who listens to counsel is wise." Listens here applies not to the listening of the ear alone, but hearing the counsel of the wise man and acquiescing in what he tells him. We find the entire Torah to be subsumed in the trait of willingness. When I saw this, I jumped for joy because he quotes the verse in Parashas Yisro. We find the entire Torah to be subsumed in the trait of willingness as well as all of the chastisements and all of the blessings. How so? At the giving of the Torah it is written in Shmos 19:5. "And now, if you shall surely hear my voice and heed my covenant, then you shall be chosen for me from among all the peoples." It's a slightly different translation. It is a verse that we just quoted. This meaning of "surely hear" is to, quote, "take it upon yourselves and acquiesce in them." And what did the people answer? "Nase v'nishma." Yes, we shall do and we shall hear. And they acquiesce. I have to tell you that our youngest child, Simcha, is a wonderful, wonderful kid. And he's very strong-willed. But as he's growing, he's almost 7, please God, February 1st, this month. Simcha sometimes will say the words, "Okay." And that's like music to my ears when he says, "Okay." Because he's understanding what it means, you know, to sometimes listen. You know, plenty of times he says, "I don't want to." But sometimes he says, "Okay." And that is like such a treasure. And that is really, it is a trait of acceptance of the Torah. "We shall do and we shall hear." Concerning, okay. So, the Parsha's name, I want to text my sister and say, the Parsha's name is really "And He Heard." Because why do you think Hashem prefaced the giving of the Torah with the story of Yisro? And the story of Moshe listening to Yisro and accepting his words? It's clear as day to me. Hashem wants to illustrate the power of this trait called Shmiah, listening. Being willing to accept. Being willing to change. Being willing to listen to another point of view and bring it to action. And this is what giving of the Torah is all about. So much, so often, we are distracted by the debates and the analysis and did the Torah come from Sinai? Did the Torah come from a man? What did the rabbis say? And this and that and analysis back and forth. And it's not about the philosophy of it. It's not about, it's really about one thing. Are we willing to accept? And I don't mean blind faith. I mean learning faith. I mean, here it is. God gave us the Torah. He didn't just blindly say, come and learn. Nase v'nishma. We will do it, but we will learn about it. We will listen. Now, to tie this all together, and this is just beautiful, what is the Jews' proclamation? Every single day, morning and night. Is it not Shema Yisrael? "Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one." Isn't that the name of the game? Hearing? And Rav Noach Weinberg, bless his soul, Shmiya Sa'ozen, way number 2, after Talmud, after study, is attentive listening. And he writes at the very beginning, Shmiya Sa'ozen literally means listen with your ears. When the Torah uses the word Shema, as in "Hear, O Israel," it implies a deeper level of listening, focusing, paying attention. Like Yisro, focusing. Hey, something just happened in the world. That miracle. That's significant. It's not just about whether there's going to be another flood. Oh, it's not? Okay, fine. I can go back to sleep. No, no, no. What does that mean? What are the implications for me? Focusing, paying attention, understanding. Like Moshe, let me understand Yisro's suggestion. It may not be what I'm used to, but wait a minute, he's got merit there. And then putting into action all of these aspects that we intuited are part of Shmiah. Zero in on just what is being said, and let the message permeate your thoughts. Effective listening means hearing the words, understanding the message, putting it into action. Why is this a message for any Jew at any time? Because isn't this effective listening and all of these layers of meaning, isn't this the key to relationships? Isn't this what a person ought to have if he's going to be beloved, if people are going to want to befriend them and work with them and help them because they are willing to listen? Not listen to me because I'm trying to boss you around. Listen, listen. I want to listen to you. I want us to hear each other. We want to communicate. A person who's locked in their own tower. I know what's right, and there's nothing that you can tell me that will get me to change that. Don't we see how listening is the key not only to our relationship with Hashem, but our relationship with all people? So, I'm going to text her. Vayishma, this is not just an incidental word. This is the main word, and this is why this incident was chosen to be at the very beginning of the Parsha of accepting the Torah. It's all about Shema. It's all about really listening, paying attention, understanding, and being willing to implement and change. Please. Who named the Parshas of the Week? That is, you know, Chazal. That's Jewish sources. You know, who picked which words are going to be the name of the Parsha? I can't tell you, you know, exactly who, but that's not something that was done by the, you know, by the Christian scholars or something. That the only thing that they added was the chapters. But the names of the Parsha, the division of where a Parsha begins, where a Parsha ends, that's done by our sages of the oral tradition.
I just thought, you ought to be invited by Congress. With all the problems they have talking to each other, this would be a good one.
Would they listen?
Well, you're trying to tell them to listen.
I remember one time we were on a family trip and we walked into a rest area, and in the bathroom, you know, there was a sink and then there was a hand dryer. And it was like a silver round button that you press to turn it on. And somebody had stuck a little sticker on there, which exactly fit onto the button. It says, press here for a message from Congress. Hot air. No. We have great reverence for our country and its leaders.
And all well deserved.
Yes. Any other comments or illustrations?
In the Shema that we say each day, does not the word Shema mean hearken, listen?
Mm-hmm.
But it has all these other connotations as well.
Correct. That's what Rav Noach Weinberg is saying, is that it encompasses all the various aspects of listening. The first one is just the, you know, the physical hearing, the words, but the focus, the attention, understanding, and willingness to accept and act is all implied in the word Shema. Yeah.
Did you mention Rebbetzin
Jung Grice? Yeah. I quoted from a book that she edited apparently her sons, two rabbis, wrote the book and then she edited it. And I have been quoting from her for the last several weeks. Yeah.
That's, she was there twice.
Yes, she was. And she's still on the tour circuit. My friend Alan, who helps me, he every day, early in the morning before he goes to work, he sits down with a number of different books that he has purchased on the Parsha, and he reads the material of that week's Parsha. And he shares with me what he thinks from his studies would make an appropriate message that he thinks anyone would want to hear. And one of his books is that book. It's called For Your Shabbos Table.
Does she still have Hineni?
Her organization of outreach in New York? I believe so. I mean, she may have other people now that work for her.
Yeah.
She still travels and...
Does she?
Yeah.
She still writes a column in the Jewish press every week.
Really, really. I just was in Baltimore a few weeks ago, and I saw that she was scheduled to come and be a guest speaker. Yeah.
She's dynamite.
Dr. Schultz, having read your illustrious interview about your career, I would imagine that you have been exposed to mentors that have exhibited this trait of listening.
Yes.
Can you tell us a little bit about how the art of listening has shaped your influence or your career?
Well, let me respond by saying I've had six mentors in my professional life. The first one was not in my professional life, but as a growing teenager. And they were all people who nurtured my growth and understood me as a person. I've never thought of it in the context of listening, per se, but suffice to say there was a frequent give and take.
Mm-hmm.
That one, I understood their wishes and mm-hmm. they understood mine. And I feel very blessed that I had these six people. It was nothing I mm-hmm. had planned on,
mm-hmm.
but they came on the same path that I was traveling, and it was wonderful.
Thank you.
One of them will celebrate his 100th birthday at the beginning of April. He's a retired professor in Houston, and he called me a month ago because he knew it was my birthday.
Mm.
He remembered my birthday.
Wow.
Mm.
And then we reminisced for easily an hour.
Happy birthday to you.
Yeah.
Sorry? Happy birthday to you.
Yeah.
Thank you. You must know Dr. Jim Steele.
I know the name. I don't.
He was at CDC.
Yeah.
Yeah. So to have someone in your life like that is a blessing.
Wow. Well.
And who influenced you besides your parents?
I once sat down and made a list of my mentors, and I think I came up with 11.
Really?
But I'll have to review that list one day. And, I'll tell you one, I'll share one little, just a little vignette. One of my mentors is Rabbi Moshe Eisman, and you've heard me mention his name before. He's written several very wonderful works, some of them art scroll translations of Tanakh, but a great, great Tanakh scholar. Anyway, he was the one who, at the yeshiva, who didn't always teach a formal class, but he would get to know every student and talk to them about what they were learning and also about their, their decisions and life choices and so forth, because we were all, you know, that age, 18, 19, 20, and thinking about what we wanted to do with our lives. And I was getting more and more serious in my Torah studies, and some of my other thoughts, you know, which previously had been either to pursue medicine or music, which was a very big passion, was starting to fade. And I said to Rabbi Eisman one day, I said, you know, perhaps I'm being too ambitious for my upbringing. You know, I don't come from a family of rabbis. I come from a family of, you know, professionals.
Cantors.
And, yeah, and perhaps I'm being too ambitious. And it's not for me. So he looked at me and he says, but you're a Yid. You're a Yid. You're a Jew. How could pursuing Torah study and teaching not be appropriate for a Jew? That's what he said. Very, just that, just those few words. And one time he came here and I shared that with him, and he hadn't remembered, but it made an impact.
I said in my note to you that I consider you and Rabbi Silverman my spiritual mentors.
That was extremely well received and flattering.
I'll give you an example of one thing I learned by observation sitting at the feet of Rabbi Silverman. He always knows people's names.
Mm.
A child will come up to him. I've never seen the child before, but he knows the name, and he did that frequently.
Mm.
So I learned that way of teaching people with respect.
Mm-hmm.
And at CDC, you're constantly intermixing with people, but I do address them by their first name.
Mm.
It changes relationships remarkably.
Wow.
I think in one of Dale Carnegie's books, the most important word to a person is their name.
Mm.
Whether it's a bank teller, no matter who it is, when someone calls you by name, see your what kind of feelings you have.
Absolutely.
And it is a big difference.
As long as you don't get the name wrong. When you do that, then you've kind of like
leveled
flat tire.
right.
Okay, thank you all for listening.
Thank you for listening.
Oh, yeah, thank you very much. Thank you for making that pickup.
No problem.
Yeshua Koa.
Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to torahmediaatlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.